Oh, great loving God, we approach your throne of grace this beautiful day. Amidst all the colors and the splendors that thou hast given us to behold with our eyes of thy wonderful creation, we draw near not only beholding that, but beholding each other as a family in Christ. We come to thee through our loving Savior, who lets us see the wonderful plan of thy salvation. And as we see ourselves in it, dear Father, we're thankful that we have been drawn to this place where we see each other and uphold each other, not only in the knowledge of thy plan, but also the love that surrounds us. Be with us as we enjoy this wonderful convention that has been provided by these loving brethren these few days ahead. May they be a blessing to us and enable us to go forward in this narrow way, that it may strengthen us in all the looking forward, great anticipation for all the dear servants that will serve from this platform. So now, dear Father, we're thankful and we rejoice in thy word and the hope that thou hast given to us, and not only for us, but also for the world of mankind. With these thoughts, dear Lord, we ask thy blessing to be on this convention, that it may be an uplift to each and every one of us that are here before thee, and that the words that we just sang that crossed over our lips, that they become meaningful and that they are even more engrafted in our lives. So we again now we leave all in thy care and keeping, thanking thee for the privilege of being amongst each other and that thou hast again provided this bountiful blessing. We give thee thanks and we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Well, brethren, if you look at your program, this is the welcome address. So I'm going to welcome you. Having taken care of the welcome address, no, just kidding. Well, sometimes you have to get down to it. We do truly want to welcome you to the 19th Annual New England Convention. We trust that this weekend will provide an opportunity for blessing for everyone here. If you have any problems, any questions, any concerns, talk to my mom. You can ask me. I might know the answer, I might not, but Sister Anna Mae in the back there, she seems to know everything, and it's not just because she's my mom. I also want to let you know that if you look at the program, just one little detail on the program, our program is not Y2K compliant. If you notice at the end, it says adjourn until 1999. It might be because the printer was afraid to print 2000, I don't know, but don't worry about it. All of that being said, let's get down to business now. Brethren, I want to read for you the context of our theme scripture for the convention for this weekend. It's in Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 29 is the context we'll read. And we're going to read from the New International Version. It says, "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission of God, by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hid for ages and for generations, but now is disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me." Spoken by the Apostle Paul to the dear brethren in Colossae. Brethren, our goal for this weekend is to make this more than a nice convention. You know, sometimes you leave a convention and people say, well, you know, how was it? And you say, oh, it was a nice convention. Well, I'd like to challenge you at the beginning of this convention to not walk away saying that. Not that it's not going to be a nice convention. But see, I think that there's more. I think there's more that we can accomplish here this weekend. And I think there's more that we are called upon to accomplish. If you look back, if you remember last year's New England program, our subject or our theme for the program was the Apostle Paul. And what we did, what we usually do at New England, is we take a day of the program and we dedicate it to a specific theme. And last year, we discussed the Apostle Paul. We looked at his character. We looked at his devotion to the churches, and we looked at his doctrinal teachings. This year, we're looking at ourselves. Our theme is making our calling and election sure. And see, with a theme like that, it's hard for me to picture this just being a nice convention. Because with a theme like that, it kind of goes almost unsaid that what we want to accomplish here is we want to move forward to making our calling and election sure. We want to make progress, want somehow to walk out of here differently than we walked in. In our theme this year, we're going to examine our growth in Christ in balancing doctrine and character. We're going to look at determining principles and preferences. We're going to look at the role of the brotherhood. And we're going to look at consecrated time management. These are four subjects, brethren, that are very, very important because they affect what we do on a daily basis. And our calling and election sure is made, or making our calling and election sure, rather, happens on that same daily basis. Brethren, this is a special time. The millennium is passing, and the world teeters on the edge of disaster, not because of the Y2K thing, but they teeter on the edge of disaster because of the sinfulness of sin. If you look around you, the world is not the same as it was just a few years ago. What does the world wait for? What is the kingdom waiting for? Well, in Romans 8, 16 to 23, we're told. It says, the Spirit itself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed, and this is the New International Version, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Brethren, the world waits for us. We must make our calling and election sure for the world to be blessed. And they will continue to groan and to travail in pain, not knowing why, not knowing how, and not having hope until we get on with the business at hand. Let's make this weekend more than just an opportunity to fellowship and hear discourses. Let's really fellowship. Let's learn with our whole heart. Let's study, let's challenge, and let's grow. Let's make this more than just an opportunity to ask questions. We have two question meetings on Saturday on the convention theme, and we'll have one on Sunday on practical aspects of Christian living. But really, ask the questions that are deep in your heart. Let's make this more than just an opportunity to give a testimony. We have opportunities to do that on Saturday and Sunday. Instead, I challenge you to truly, truly testify unto the Lord. Share your heart. Sometimes that's hard. Why all of the fuss and all of the challenge? Well, we'll close our opening remarks and then ask Brother Leo to come forward. Again with the scripture, Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 15. But as we read this scripture, we're going to change it a little bit in that we're going to read it as though we are saying it rather than the Apostle Paul is saying it. It says, but what things were gained to us, those we counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and we count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord, for whom we have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that we may win Christ. And being found in him, not having our own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of faith of God by faith, that we may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means we might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though we had already attained, either we're already perfect, but we follow after, that we may apprehend that for which we are also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, we count not ourselves to have apprehended, but this one thing we do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if at anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you.